It's over in Minneapolis. Big Ten tournament. It has gone final. 66-57, Penn State over Michigan. Welcome in for the final Maize and Blue Review Michigan basketball post-game live show of the year. The season ending in Minnesota for Michigan as the number 14 seed, the Big Ten tourney in Minneapolis. It was the last chance for Michigan. They had to win the tournament or it was going to be it. And it ends in the first round, Michigan and Penn State. This was a game that Michigan, a lot of the times this year, if you watch Michigan, they played a pretty good first half and then not so good in the second half. Kind of different. Not that they played great in the second half, but they didn't play good in the first half. They actually won the second half, so it was kind of a flip now that you think about it. Sloppy first half, though. Had Michigan down 11, 33-22, just 22 points in the first half, but the Wolverines with 11 turnovers in the first 11 minutes. And then the second half, you know, U of M cut it in the single digits, but got down to six. They didn't have as many turnovers, but not enough. Not enough, and this season ends with Michigan losing 24 ball games, the most they've ever lost, the worst season they've ever had. 2024, they lose 24 games, and that's something that will stand out if you are a Michigan basketball fan. Jared immediately saying the suffering has ended, and you know, there's some truth to it there when you think about this. I'd want to see him win a ball game. It's that time of year, you know, you win a ball game, you win two, suddenly things can look so much different for you. And I mean, what am I even talking about? What we are just now waiting for is to see what Ward Manuel is going to do. The ball is in Ward's court. And let's take a look at the final numbers and see if there's anything that stands out as we go through it. Michigan, you know, Terrace Reed Jr., there's been a lot of speculation. And sure, it's going to be a lot of speculation when you have a 24 loss team and you don't know about the head coach. The guys might be jumping into the portal. Terrace Reed Jr., he shows flashes. I wanted him to have a better season. I'm sure he wanted to have a better season himself, but the flashes that he shows in a hard work over the summer, if he came back, he could be a nice Big Ten player if he puts the work in. 12 points for Terrace Reed Jr. You have to wonder if you've seen the last of him. Now, I don't know. Guessing whether or not he's going to go into the portal. Sure, I think there's going to be teams. If you're a halfway decent player, there's going to be some teams that are going to be coming after you. And Michigan's, the prospects, whatever it's going to be, they're likely going to be looking up at everybody in the Big Ten again next year. So you may have seen the last of Reed Jr. I hope not. We have seen the last of TW2, Terrence Williams, the second, 15 points. Will Cheddar, the fan favorite, the sportsman of the year in the Big Ten. Not a good game for Cheddar, 2 points. He fouled out. Speaking of not good games, Doug McDaniel, 7 points, held scoreless in the first half. Penn State has an outstanding defender in Baldwin Jr., who had 17 points in this game, and he checked and shut down Doug McDaniel. McDaniel was frustrated, 7 points, 3 of 12, 1 of 7 from downtown. He was shooting air balls. Poor game from Doug McDaniel. He's another one that you wonder if he's playing his last game in a Michigan uniform. he's a nice offensive player. There'll be plenty of teams that would want him. You think about the 6-game road suspension. What else can you say about that? You know, is he going to be upset that Michigan did that to him, put the dunce cap on him and everybody? I did it himself. So I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say he's gone. 7 points for McDaniel. Namari Burnett had 11 points. And then the bench, is there anything to look through on the bench? Not really. Trey Jackson, a goose egg, instant offense, but came in, jacked a couple shots up, didn't get anything going. I cannot tell a lie. George Washington III. Boy, he must have gotten in late in the game because I watched to the last 2 minutes. And then I didn't throw up my hands or anything. I just said, okay, there's not going to be a comeback. Let's get ready for this. But George Washington III hit 4 free throws and ended up with 4 points. Yo-Yo, maybe he was hurt or something. He couldn't even get any run in there. Jace Howard. Jace Howard had one of his worst games. And not that he plays a whole lot, but he'd grab a rebound and he would be right in front of the basket. And, you know, he missed at least 3 bunnies right there. Just, you know, not his night. 0 for 5 from the field, 0 of 2 from downtown. Did hit a couple free throws. Juwan's son did. So he gets in the scorebook with 2 points. Jalen Llewellyn, same old story with Jalen. Not a whole lot for the transfer from Princeton, ends up with 2 points. That's it when it comes down to the box score. Now, you know, Penn State, I don't really have I think Penn State will get wiped out against Indiana. Nobody's going to pick Penn State. Penn State is a brutal team. You can say Penn State, I don't know, a Penn State basketball fan to be watching this and say, yeah, it was brutal. It beat Michigan by 9. Yeah, you did, but you didn't work very impressive in doing it. Hicks had 20. He led all scores. That's it. That's the one. Jared wants no minutes for Yo-Yo. You know, when seasons go on and you're not going to have a good year, there's going to be questions and complaints from fans and in media. That just comes along. It goes with the territory. I didn't really buy into any throughout the season. It was even last year. There was this clamoring for, you know, Will Cheddar, get him in the starting lineup. And then he put up some nice advanced metrics, but I really didn't see anything there. You didn't hear me banging on the table or anything for, you know, they got to get Cheddar in there for some minutes. There wasn't a whole lot there. He can't play defense at all. So here's the thing. Like, nobody can really play defense, so I get that part. But the argument of George Washington III and Yo-Yo, those guys don't play at all. One, Yo-Yo's the sophomore. GW3, the true freshman. You know, you can lose with those guys, getting them, you know, some experience and try to develop them. But when I watched them come in, like, they didn't do anything. There was nothing that you would watch where you'd say, you know, they look like they have earned some minutes. But I don't know. It was watching Jace tonight. Like, I don't know. Yo-Yo could do that. So I don't know, it's just bad all the way around. Like I said, maybe Yo-Yo tripped in the locker room or something. It doesn't matter. He could have got a. Could have got him in for a minute or two. You could say, well, he'll be in the portal. I don't know. Where is he going? Nobody. I don't think anybody's going to be clamoring for Yo-Yo to come to their school or anything. But that's that. And you get the other part when you have the worst season ever. You look at the roster. There's not a whole lot. You know, there's nothing to look at and say, oh, yeah, this is a bright spot, or they have this going for them, or any of that. I got a couple recruits coming in next year. And we have to see. The first thing we have to see is if what they're going to do with Juwan Howard. My guess is that Juwan Howard's not going to be the head coach next year. The argument to keep him, Ward Manuel might look at the health situation that Howard had and said that because of that, he couldn't give his all, and he came back and, you know, he would give him another shot. I think the other part to that is that 4 years ago, most people wanted Jim Harbaugh fired, and they were telling that to Ward Manuel, and Ward Manuel knows that people want Juwan Howard fired, and he could say, look, you guys wanted Jim fired, and I stuck with him, and look what happened. So he might feel emboldened by that choice. I'm not saying that's a good choice for, in fact, I think it's a bad choice for Ward, but I think those two things. But when you're in this job, I think you just have to look at the future, and you have to just think about the prospects. If they were going to bring him back, and they say, all right, go ahead and change up the coaching staff, do whatever, you know, you do some of those things. Whatever the interest is in Michigan basketball right now, not very high. It will be at its all-time low if Howard is retained, and it's only going to go down from there. There's not going to be anybody going to the games. There's not going to be, if there's some kind of drumbeat for a collective, like, let's put your money towards Michigan basketball. Nobody's going to be putting any money down to go to the games or to put in any kind of charity basket to try to bring in any players. So I think it's hopeless if Howard comes back. You're going to be in the same spot next year, except it's going to drop down further. So I think there's only one thing that can be done, is that is to talk to Juwan and say, yeah, it's a tough year for you, of course. Hope you can get your health 100% correct. You played here at Michigan. You came in. You know, you displayed the love for the university, and these just last 2 years, they're just going to go in another direction, and that has to be the choice. I did talk with somebody yesterday who was telling me, like, Juwan Howard in his second year, he didn't forget how to coach. He did a fabulous job. He was coach of the year. And even if the argument is, and there's a little bit of truth to that, because there were a lot of John Beilein players on there, but there were a lot of Juwan Howard players in there. That was the year Juwan Howard went into the transfer portal and got Mike Smith. That wasn't John Beilein that did that. That was Juwan Howard going into the transfer portal and getting Shaun-Dae Brown. Shaun-Dae Brown was an awesome player for Michigan. Hunter Dickinson, that he was recruited by Juwan Howard. Franz Wagner, you know, he was a freshman. People don't want to give him credit for Franz Wagner. He was a freshman the first year Howard was there. I know that his brother was, but so what? He was there. You give him the credit. So there's the, you know, four players there. And Austin Davis, he got hurt, but he developed and looked pretty good for a big man. I liked what I saw there. And I know Eli Brooks and the people of the DNA for John Beilein. And there has to be a little bit of that is true. But you also have to give them credit. They won the Big Ten. They came a shot away from getting to the Final Four. So if he could put it all together, he can do a decent job. But just the last 2 years were just so bad. I'm not, you know, that's the argument. And for me, the argument, it's gone completely downhill. Sure enough, in his third year, they found a way to get into the tournament to their credit, and then they won two games also to their credit. But last year was a disaster, and this year was worse. So that's all. So I will just find out. We'll hold our breath, and we'll find out. I'll take some of the feedback here. Gavin says it's going to be an interesting 24, 48 hours. That's right. Michigan Go Blue says Yo-Yo is going to transfer very soon. I'd assume a couple other guys will too. Like I said, I'm not really sure where Yo-Yo's going. He's going to a mid-major. Sure. I think those guys should find out who the coach is going to be first. But, yeah. Yeah. You want to tell me that this guy's going into the transfer portal? I could say, sure. Mark's talking about nice game, PSU. PSU did not impress me at all. Gavin says it's going to be a mass exodus with a new coach, if it is. Yeah, so what, I would say. I like Terrace Reed Jr. I'd like him to come back and play for Michigan. Juwan Howard stayed and he went into the transfer portal, that would be disappointing. But look at the team. You know, that would really be a big blow. A big man and Juwan Howard, but that's not enough. And that is part of the equation. Looking at the roster, is Doug McDaniel, you fired Juwan, McDaniel and Reed are gone. Okay. Doug McDaniel's an exciting offensive player, but what he did this year, he could be a nice player to root for to come back, but he can't play any defense, and he's very streaky. And I don't know how big he comes up in tight moments. How many times? Can you name any time that he came up big in a big moment? He had the first couple weeks, or first couple games, I should say. He looked really good, but the suspension and he's a little point guard that is exciting, but I don't know. I think you can replace him. M Go Blues talking about Roos. Definitely going to be a lot of players that will leave. Yeah, Connie Roos is hanging out, and he did not sign in the early signing period. That's not 100% sure. You don't know who the next coach is. So, yeah, that would be it. Is he enough to say bring back Howard? I would say no. Z-Man's talking about he wouldn't mind seeing an entirely new roster. It could be that. Jared saying was hoping for some progress. Can it all be on Juwan? Does some of it fall on Phil or Sadi? It falls on all of those guys. Howard Eisley. Thing is, when Howard wasn't in there, they actually played their best basketball when he wasn't the coach. And it goes back to when he was suspended for the slap swing. You know, they got into the NCAA tournament with, I don't know, maybe they were playing for their coach or whatever else. But this sums it up from CK. It was the worst season ever. Michigan basketball fans get a hard rap, get a bad rap. I believe people don't care about basketball, as it's been said. I look at it, I've been around Southeast Michigan almost my whole life. I like how the sports fans react to the teams. If you want to be somebody, because you're a Michigan fan, that just goes down to the game, you'll never not root for the team because you just love them. You're just maize and blue through and through, and there's no negativity, and you'll always show up. Well, that's great. That's fine. But if a sports fan to me, that if a team, you earn people going down and filling up the seats. Look at the Pistons right now. There's nobody going down in those games. They don't deserve it. The difference is football. Everybody's addicted to football so much and loves it. It doesn't matter if you're that bad. But even football, you saw, you know, a few years ago, even at Michigan, where you had to get free tickets for, you know, if you bought a Coke or something to get the streak, you know, to keep the sellout streak. So there was some of that. But my point is that the basketball fans, they get a bad rap that it, you know, it's not a basketball. It is everything. Everybody in Michigan and pretty much everywhere in the country. I know that Tobacco Road, they love college basketball. Yeah, that's not the same. Like talking about hockey in Canada. But our friends up the road, Michigan State, they like to say, it's not a basketball. Look at all these fans. I got news for you. When Izzo's done, maybe after this year, and State falls on some hard times and they have a few lean years, people aren't going to be going to the Jack Breslin Center and all these people that are talking about, we're great basketball fans. That place will be empty too. They're mostly like most of the other fans in the Midwest, into the state of Michigan. If you don't put a good product out on the floor, out on the court, people aren't going to be interested. And that's the biggest thing with this program right now. They're not putting a product out on the floor that people want to see. If they do that, then people will come. They will go to the games. They will fill it up, and they will follow the teams. You want people to sell it out every night and everything. I went to games when the Fab Five were here. They didn't sell out all the games when the Fab Five were playing. Fab Five, everybody, they've changed the they were the, you know, the socks and the shorts. They were college. They didn't sell out every game. They were great in the tournament. They were great. They didn't win the Big Ten. That used to be a thing. You know, winning the Big Ten was a big deal. And, you know, that stuff. So that's where I'm at with it. I do want to thank all of you folks for watching this post-game show. Man, I'm really looking forward to these next few days. After the Wednesday, this first round, all day at noon, from noon to midnight tomorrow, same thing on Friday, same thing on Saturday. I don't mind having some championship games on Sunday. I was listening today to a national show where they're complaining about, well, Sunday, I don't even know how to have games. Everybody just wants the bracket and everything. And because people like watching college basketball, and you like to see who's going to win the in a big time matchup. If it ends up being whatever, Purdue and the Illinois, you want to watch that. I'm going to see who it's going to be around there and how that's going to go. So, and then of course, the following Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'll be taking that in. Keep an eye out. Maybe we can find somewhere in Ann Arbor, maybe get together and watch some of these games, watch a session or two with the tournament coming up. That'll do it. I'll take I see a few more feedback coming in or read a few, and then that'll be that. Matt says this team not only stunk, they weren't even lovable losers. Felt like they all disliked each other. Yeah, I can't tell you that there was any redeeming value. They play a sloppy game. When you're turning it over, your seniors are bricking front ends of one-on-ones, missing both free throws. They don't play well together. They didn't respond to coaching, or they're not well coached. They're not fundamentally sound. They don't play defense at all. The biggest thing about this team is that the will to play the game was not there for this team. they, you can get into a stance and try to play, but it was pretty obvious that these guys, they don't want to fight. You got to fight. A lot of the, you hear people talk about basketball players and you'll hear people say that guy's got a lot of dog in him. Well, this team had a lot of dog in them, but not the kind that everybody's saying that they want. They played like dogs a lot of the time. And especially on the defensive side, you need to wake up and be ready to fight when you're stepping on the court. And they didn't. And that's a reflection of the coach. Now, what happened when they had his team in 21 and whatever it was, right, with his health, and he was wrapped up because you should be, and thinking about your life, and he just couldn't connect with his players that way. Yeah, I get that. That's tough. Somebody told me that I was cold and heartless talking about Juwan Howard, throwing him out on the street because of his health. Being a coach is a tough job. There's some jobs where you lose the job and there does seem to be a cold business. Is cold and heartless. Sports is the same way. And I would just say for the people that feel that same way, because Juwan is a Michigan man. He loved the job. He loves Michigan. I don't doubt that. These guys get paid a fantastic amount of money. And I don't care if Juwan Howard needs it or not. I don't think, whatever. People like money. But these guys get paid an extraordinary amount of cash to go out there. And that's the job description. You can be heralded and cheered and just beloved forever if you can figure it out and you can win at a place. Now they can build a statue for it. The other side, it's what you want to call it, a cold, heartless business. That's why you get the money that you get. I would say if you'd feel something bad for somebody, and it might not even be the assistants, it could be somebody else, but that's part of the job that you get into. Are all U of M fans pulling for Oakland now? Well, I would think you would pull for Oakland. I like Greg Campy myself. I mean, what's not to like about Greg Campy? He's been at Oakland U for 40 years. He is a nice guy. I've talked over and over about the names about replacing them. Looks like McDermott just got signed by Creighton. He was one of the guys that I looked at. And some of the others that I liked, Wes Miller. I like both of the Drake and Indiana State coach. They played in the Missouri Valley Final. Taking a look at those two. These guys up at the top, I put a list of these for people that are listening on the podcast. But when it comes down to it, Lamont Paris, South Carolina, Wes Miller from Cincinnati, those are the stops that I would make first. But the thing for me is a big part of it, I've watched South Carolina, the way they play the game. I see how Chris Collins and how he coaches at Northwestern and what he's been able to do with what they have to, the restrictions that Northwestern has. I think he would be a good coach at Michigan. But I could tell you I like the system and I like this, and you could say, well, I don't. That's fine. Interviewing these guys and then talking with them and being able to connect with them, if you're Ward Manuel, that's what it comes down to. But those are going to be the first couple calls that I would make. But I would have, if I was Ward Manuel, he better have a pretty good idea right now. Maybe he's whittled that list down to, three, or maybe he's got his guy already. I would think that they would be in the NCAA tournament. And then after that, you got to be maneuvering behind the scenes. But so there's there's a dozen coaches that I would want to talk with that could come on in here. Bad season, but NCAA is the best, even without a dog in the fight. I agree with that. It sucks on Selection Sunday. It's so much better to, you know, to have your team in there and be able to see Michigan and where they're going and then talk about it. But you're right. It's still great. Calvin talking about moving on before he sets his program back years. I'm with you. Dave says, can't take my sunshine away. The Buckeyes are sad. Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. Best football season ever. Worst basketball season ever. You'd like to have them both, but hey, can't have everything. Thanks so much for watching, listening. 66-57, 24 losses on the year for Michigan. I'll see you over on the Maize and Blue review. And I will see you on this very feed on Friday at 2 o'clock. Thanks for watching, everybody. Have a great night. Enjoy March Madness.